sit in the hot seat today. Put my back down. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life. Give us grace to receive thankfully the fruits of his redeeming work and to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, I want to invite Kate Stewart to come forward and join me up here. And if you brought a backpack, you can bring it. If you didn't, that's okay too. Come on up. I've got my backpack. It can sit down, Zach. I brought my backpack. It can be a stand-in for everybody else's backpack. Come on up, and you can find a sit-down anywhere you want here. All right. So, I am wearing green today, and I find myself wearing green on Sundays most of the time. How do you like green? Is green one of your favorite colors? If it's one of your favorite colors, raise your hand. No. Oh, Zachary likes green. Anybody out there like green? Green. I like, you know, when you mix blue and green, it's like turquoise. I like that color a whole lot. But the reason we wear green right now is because this is the time of the year when we think about how we grow. And part of growing, for some people, is going back to school. How many of you went back to school this week? I wonder what that was like, going back to school. I wonder what that experience was like. I talked to Zachary about it yesterday. He said, it was okay. Is that right? It was so-so. In Spanish, they say, más o menos, more or less. It was all right. Yeah. What about you all? I wonder what going back to school was like. Were there friends? Were there teachers? Were there homework assignments? Yeah. Somebody said, yes. What homework starts tomorrow for you? Yeah. How many of you brought backpacks to school? How many of you took backpacks? Did you take a backpack to school? No. Well, sometimes we take backpacks to school. I wonder what we carry in our backpacks to school. What do we carry? What do you carry? Books? What else? Pencils? Yeah. Yeah. What else? What else would you carry in a backpack to school? What do you take to school? You take your glasses. Yeah. Yeah. Your phone? Yes. Yep, that's a new thing. When I had my backpack in school, I did not have a phone in there, mainly because it wouldn't fit, and it had a cord that wouldn't go that far. So, yeah, but I hear you. I hear you, phone. Yeah. Well, I think that it's important. We're going to bless the backpacks today. I think it's important when we think about backpacks and going back to school, we think about two different types of backpacks. There's this kind of backpack that has all the stuff we need for school and the schoolwork. But then there's the backpacks of our hearts. Does that make any sense? Okay. I wonder what's in the backpack of your heart. Let me show you what's in the backpack of my heart. And I carry these things when I go to work with me. They're important. They help. Okay, what's in the backpack of my heart here? Let's see. Oh, I've got this card. This is a card that Casey wrote me when we first started dating each other. So it kind of reminds me of Casey. So I always have in my heart the love I have with Casey. So that's part of the backpack of my heart. What else? Oh, this is an icon of Jesus. I try to always have Jesus Christ in my heart. That's hard to do sometimes, but I'll pass that around if you want to look at it. What else do I have in the backpack of my heart here? Oh, this is the Holy Family. It's made out of olive wood, and I got it when I was in Jerusalem. And it's got Joseph. Joseph's carrying something. I'm not sure what. And then you got Mary, and then Mary has the baby here. And I carry this in my heart because I remember that the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and the baby, means that all of us are a part of the Holy Family. Pass this over to you. Pass this over to you. Let's see, what else is in the backpack of my heart? Oh, these are some beautiful places I've been. This is in Texas and Hawaii. Texas and Hawaii are very different places, but they're both beautiful, turns out. Also in the backpack of my heart, oh, is this picture of me and Casey that I carry around. Let me show Zachary first and then pass it the other way. So these are the things I carry in the backpack of my heart because they remind me that God is beautiful and God gives us love and God wants us to keep God close to our hearts all the time. I wonder what's in the backpack of your heart. What would you want to carry in the backpack of your heart? What'd you say? Nothing? What about out there? What would you all want to carry in the backpacks of your heart here?
Family.
I love that. God. What of your photos of your kids in the backpack of your heart? Yeah. Okay. Well, before we bless these backpacks, I'm going to give you something that you can put on your backpack or just carry around with you. And it will be a reminder that we bless the backpacks. So, but I want you to pick your color here. And I'm going to stand up so Zachary can pick one too. And just so I can show everybody, these also, just like phones, these did not exist when I was a kid. But what y'all told me, this is a pop. Yeah, you pop it back and forth. That's what you do. That's it. And it's great. And people love it. Like my nephews. Yeah, it's kind of like a stress reliever. Right. And so you can have this on your backpack. Maybe you'll pop it during the day. Think about what God is up to in your heart. So can we say a blessing for the backpack? Okay. Let's all stand. Go ahead. So let me see if I understood you correctly. Not sure that I did. But you said you don't know if you have a backpack or not, but it's at home. Okay. But I heard that, I think what I heard is that your dad's very important to you too. Okay. And that might be in the backpack of your heart. Yeah. Love that. All right. So to bless the backpacks, we got to stand up. And we kind of got to make a circle around this backpack. This is going to be then for your backpack. So let's make a circle around the backpack. Come over here. Okay. And then we put our holy hands out like this, remembering that the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, right? So these we're channeling, we're putting the Holy Spirit towards our backpacks. And let's pray for our backpacks. Good and gracious God, we ask that you send your blessing on not only the backpack, but especially on the ones who carry backpacks and supplies and all the stuff that they need to school. We ask that school be a time of learning and growth and fun and adventure. And when those times come up, when it's difficult or hard or discouraging, that you remind us that you are always with us, even in those hard and difficult times. And thank you for all the folks who are here today. Amen. All right, thanks everybody. And if any adult to pop it out there, too bad. But you can come look at them.
Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand that the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Sure.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Amen, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Then those religious leaders, they said, how can this person give us his flesh to eat? I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So my little household is full of firsts, you know, right now. Casey and I are on a full-blown competition on whoever provokes the first, like the first laugh. I tell all of our nannies that it's a $500 bonus if the baby says dad, dad first. So, full-on competition. But this week we did a hike for the first time, oh man, in Cherokee National Forest, home of the 1996 Rafting Olympics competition. They had a little sign there that commemorated that. This is in Polk County, is that right, Casey? Yeah. And so Casey, with her wonderful job, took some internet resources to a group of folks out there, and we found ourselves at this little building that served as like, it was the community center, but it was also like the town hall, it was the fire department, it was all in this one little building there, and we dropped that stuff off, and then we took Simon out on the trail. And, you know, Simon has inherited my lack of ability to tolerate the sun or insects. It's full blown. And Casey and I are pretty anxious about that. So you know, we had him. I'll have to show you a picture. So on the hike, it was a 2 mile hike. I had him front loaded, you know, and he was like hanging out, his little legs dangling and everything. And he's like this, you know, his arms are like, he's sort of locked like this. He didn't have a big kite on, but he was sort of like this. And he had a big hat on, so the sun wouldn't hit him. And we went walking through the woods there, and it's a 2 mile loop. And man, so here's my experience. I was like looking out for the mosquitoes. They were coming at us, and I was the whole hike. I was slapping those things. Little Simon, he was enthralled. I mean, I don't know, I'm looking at Casey now, I don't know if I've ever, his head was just like, okay, this is a brand new thing, everything is coming at me once, I love it. He was making those joyful squeal noises, you know, not the noises he makes when he's pooping, the other squeal joyful noises, right? There's two times when that kid's vocal, one's when he's happy and the other times when he's pooping. So he had this, and his arms were just going, right? And I knew that he was like overstimulated when literally the halfway mark, like a mile in, everything went limp because he had fallen asleep. He just bump and his head hit the side, you know, and I turned to Casey and I go, is he alive here? Is everything looking all right? But he was totally dead to the world. And I remember, you know, this wasn't a part of today's gospel, but I remember how Jesus said, you have to have faith like a child, let the little children come to me, right? Maybe he meant something like this, where we're exploring the world for the first time. Me, who has explored the world over and over and over and over and over and over, and over again, my heart was full of anxiety about the sun beating down, about these insects, but not Simon. Simon was encountering the world full of enthusiasm. He'll remember none of it. But somehow, it will encode itself on his little heart, and one day when he's hiking in the woods with a lot of bug bites, he'll be like, It will just register as this is a joyful experience. That's our goal anyway. So I think the three lections that we've read today, Psalms, Ephesians, Gospel of John, sort of have a theme that we can discern in common. We can, when at the beginning of the summer you have to make this weird choice in the lectionary. So it's either track one or track two, and we've chosen track two. Track two is all the lections are related to each other. In track one, it goes off on its separate little tangent thing. And so the only rule there is you're supposed to, if you pick one, you stick with it. You don't bounce back and forth from Sunday to Sunday. So we've stuck with track two. And so the idea is that these readings, Psalms, Ephesians, the Gospel of John, they're interconnected through some sort of theological theme. And, I'm the professional God person here. I get paid all the professional God money, so I need to know what that theme is, right? And I'm looking at this thing like, this looks a lot different across this thing. So in the Gospel of John, we're 4 weeks into a six-week conversation about the bread of life, right? It's a lot to preach about bread, but there it is. And it gets presented to us every 3 years, year B, in the summertime. This Gospel of John, chapter 6, saga about Jesus trying to get across in this extremely tangible way what it means to dwell in Christ and have Christ to dwell in you. And the metaphor that he picks is bread, the most basic thing. And if you look at the Proverbs, Sophia, wisdom, that is understood as a part of the divine in the Hebrew mind. So God, as Lady Sophia, inviting both the wise and the folly to the feast of wisdom, right? That there's a movement, that you have to embody it, that you have to adopt it, right? And then in Ephesians, this call to not waste your time. And Paul is like really quick to tell you all the things that you can waste your time on, which I'm like, oh yeah, I do that, yeah, I like that one too, yeah, oh. Okay, Paul, all right. Look, thank God Paul wasn't alive when video games were alive, because that would have been on the list too. So, but Paul gets down to, you all will appreciate this, the way to not waste your time is with psalms and singing, right? With psalms and singing. So all three gospels are inviting us into, or all three lections, all three readings, are inviting us to participate in the divine and have the divine in us. And it's trying to get that to that in very concrete terms. Bread, singing, being together in joy. Jesus, eating my flesh. That sounds weird, but that's what Jesus says. Eat my flesh. And so we come together, we sing, we break bread, and we wonder how these very tangible things that we do come into give meaning to the way that we live our lives. How do we break bread? How do we not waste time? How do we dwell in the divine in our everyday normal life? And for my money, what I'm reading here in these three readings, these three lections, is that it's a movement. It's a constant movement. It's a constant sort of changing to be in relationship with God. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. So there are two people that, as I read, I became fascinated with. One I've been thinking about all week. The second, Dee Taylor reminded me of at a cookout last night. So the first is this guy named, he's a French guy, Robert Schutz. But you spell that weird. It's like S-C-H-U with a little weird symbol, T-E-S, Schutz, Roger Schutz. So Roger Schutz was born in the early 20th century. He lived through both the First and the Second World War. He was Swiss. He became disillusioned with the posture of his government around the world events. And he sort of became enthralled with the French and their posture, especially in the Second World War. And he felt like he needed to move to France and spend his life bringing together people of different walks of the Jesus movement into a healing process together after those two world wars. And that's what he dedicated his life to. So in 1940, he started this community. I'm going to look at Linda and see if she can help me pronounce it. Is it Taze? Taze? Taze. 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 You, have you heard of this? Taze? Do we sing Taze music every once in a while?
Yes.
It's, some of it has found its way into our hymnal, I think. I'm not sure. Linda's looking at me like, don't put this on me. This is all you up there all by yourself. She's looking at me like, you're the expert here preaching the sermon. I'm just sitting here listening, all right? Sorry, Linda. So Taze is this little community in France that is, it's a monastery. It's this huge place now where people make pilgrimage, mostly young people. And they gear them, and when I say young people, I mean folks who are younger than me, right? Those are young people. People in their late teens, early 20s, young adults. And they invite those folks. You can stay, I think if you're under 30, this sounds ageist, but it's how they are. If you're under 30, you can stay there for free at Taze. And they have several events throughout the year. And I think there are 100 and something brothers, but they're not. There's Catholic brothers, and there's Eastern Orthodox brothers, and there's Protestant brothers, and there's Episcopalian brothers. And they take on a common vow of life, and they live into this rule of life together. And this guy, Roger, started this thing, and his mission was twofold. One, he wanted to find a way to do prayer through music that everybody could participate in. And so if you ever sing a Taze hymn, man, what if I put it onto the... can we sing a Taze hymn together? You all will get this. It's... Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's two parts. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Everybody, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So there are many, many of these Taze songs that are that simple. And you can sing them in different languages, and you know, obviously you don't have to be talented. Though I don't know how that sounded, but you don't have to be all that talented to bring that forth. And so that was one of Roger's goals, was to bring forth a prayer experience that people from different walks of life and different parts of the Jesus movement can move into together. But the second part of his mission was to say that this is not a pilgrimage here. This is a transformation and a pilgrimage back into your place, where you take this healing love of Jesus Christ back to where you are. And that might look different in terms of your context. But the idea is to bring people from different perspectives into community and conversation together. And you do that through prayer, through common love of the divine. And he was dedicated to that. And that's what the rule of life at Taze is all about. And it has appealed to young people with young spirituality for many decades now. Even now. And if you think about what we're going through in the United States of America, it seems like something like that, where we find, this is exactly what Paul is coming to, through harmony of simple music and together and joy and a mission of God's love and bringing people from different ideas together to listen to each other, to be together, and at the foundation of that, a holding of the divine as the one who matters here, right? That is something that is in deep need, that we could be on pilgrimage about. And I think something about what Jesus is talking about when he says something as concrete and tangible as, I am the bread of life. You think about bread, right? Bread, I think in the 21st century, most of our experiences around bread is you go to the grocery store, there's a thing wrapped in plastic, you bring it home, you open the plastic, it's sliced for you there, you consume it, done, right? That's most of our experience of bread. Bread in the first century was something else. I mean, a lot of people had a barley loaf, right? A barley cake and something, and I looked up the recipe for this thing. It takes days to make, and you start with just adding a couple simple ingredients of barley and water together and letting those sit. And then when it starts bubbling, that's when you know it's ready to add the other ingredients. That's terrifying to me. Casey and I, in the pandemic, we made the mistake of getting one of those sourdough starters, you know? And you feed this thing. It's in a jar. You feed it. It had a name. And we were like, why does it have a name? And after like 2 weeks with it, we're like, oh, okay, this is because it's alive. And you feed it, and it like, you like, in the night, you feed it, and then the next morning, it's taking over your counter. It's smoking a little cigarette. It says, hey, good morning. What's up? We can make eggs. And then Casey and I had to take turns feeding it, right? And Casey was like, it's your turn to feed it. I'm like, I'm going to shoot it. It's a lawn. But this is the first century experience of bread, where you bring common materials together, and when you bring them together, and they didn't know about yeast the way that we know about yeast, but this thing happens. Life is added to this thing. And not only life is added to this thing, but it is calorie rich, which means it's calorie rich. So that means when you consume it, it's given you a whole lot. And if you talk to anthropologists, what they'll say is that you can start tracking the rise of civilization and innovation with the storage of grain and bread. Because what it allowed for was a leisure class in societies to make innovations and do inventions and that sort of thing. Bread literally changed everything. It was two common, not alive things coming together, right? God infuses the divine self into our world. God infuses the divine self into our world. That's what it means to be Christians, is to believe that God breaks in on this world in the person Jesus Christ, but not only in that time, in that place, but in every time, in every place. And so in our baptismal covenant, when we say, I vow to seek and serve the Christ that is in my neighbor, that is a belief, a fundamental belief, a confession that we believe that Christ is in breaking in every moment, in every person, every time, and that we have an obligation to that, right? It's like bread coming together and starting to bubble. Maybe Jesus means something like that when he says, you must consume my flesh. That to do that is life. It will give life. The other guy I thought about was Jonathan Daniels, which Dee reminded me of yesterday. So here we sit in August, sort of in between two important dates. The date that we commemorate Jonathan Daniels, it was yesterday, okay? And the day that we would commemorate Roger, the founder of Taze, is the 20th. Okay? And so we sit here in between these two folks. And I think there's something similar about them in that they both answered this call that's in our lectionary today of finding the ways in which Christ breaks into this world and moving your life towards that. For Roger, it was a move all the way to France. For Jonathan Daniels, he was a theologian and a seminary student. He was in the process to become an Episcopal priest, and he was living during the height of the Civil Rights Movement in the 1960s. In 1965, he left his studies before completing, knowing that it would put him on academic probation, left on the Midwest, came down and spent time in Alabama trying to integrate public spaces and give people the right to vote. And did that hand in hand with other civil rights workers at that time. So he risked everything. He left. I mean, I can't think of it. I can't even express the amount of pressure that's under you in seminary, because all these people have backed you up. They've invested in you. They're hoping that you get through this process, you become a priest, and then you can do your work with the church. But until then, you're doing this intense work, and you've got to get it right because a lot of people are counting on you. That's what it's like to be in seminary. And he said, this is more important. This work is more important, right? I can't imagine, I just can't imagine as a seminary student thinking, this is more important. But this is what God is calling us to do. This is what, when Lady Wisdom in Proverbs, the divine wisdom, when Sophia says, come, leave the food of folly and come into the feast of wisdom, right? When Paul says, leave behind the drunken, debaucherous life and come and live in harmony and song. When Jesus says, be a follower of mine, eat the bread of life. I think this is what he's talking about. It's a shift. It's a constant invitation into a shift, into whatever God is doing in our lives. The hard thing about it is that it's risky. It means we might lose something in that process. That's what it means to be followers of God. That is what it means to eat the bread, right? For Simon, it was, he's got a big old mosquito bite on his head right now, right? There was a risk in his little adventure into the woods. But man, it was worth it. At least to Casey and me, it was worth it. He'll figure it out one day, right? For Roger, Roger, one fateful day in 2005, was singing a Taze song when a deranged pilgrim came and stabbed him to death in the midst of the worship. And he died. For Jonathan Daniels, after being arrested and put in jail for his work in Alabama, he was released, and the young woman that he was with, Ruby Sales, who was 17 at the time, wanted to cross the street to a convenience store against everybody's advice and get a Coke. Jonathan decided he would go with her. A deputized construction worker stepped out of the convenience store with a shotgun, aimed it at Ruby Sales. He pushed her out of the way and took the blast. And died. And so we commemorate those two people who gave their lives in this really powerful way for the love of Christ in the world. This is what Jesus did, and this is maybe what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I'm not asking you to go take a shotgun blast, I promise I'm not. But what I am saying is that there is an opportunity for us to recognize that God is calling us into these deeper and deeper ways of abiding with the Christ and Christ abiding in us. That the world is alive with God. And that we break bread at this altar to remind us that when we leave this place and go out into our lives, that we are going out onto holy ground where people are struggling with anxieties and misfortunes and broken hearts and missed opportunities, things they fill up with consumerism and pornography and addiction and all kinds of other things, right? But we carry the bread of life, the love of Christ. That's what we carry out. And it's a dangerous thing to approach somebody like that. But that's what it means. And what God promises, what Jesus says, is that if we do that, if we consume this bread, it means eternal life. Amen. Please stand or kneel as we pray for the church and for the world.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
But light perpetual shine upon them.
We pray for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
We especially pray for the people of Haiti who are reeling from yet another earthquake. We pray for Troy, who is the son of Judy, who is undergoing surgery this morning to repair a broken arm. We pray for Bob and Joan Guthrie.
Our parish prayer list: Jim, Russ, Chuck, Zach, JR, Pat, Kelly, Barry, John, Susie, Joyce, Jacqueline, John and Jenny, Mary, Elaine, Jan and Doug, Priscilla and Greg, Pat, Derek, Noah, Michelle, Cindy, Marianne, Anna Mae, Pete and Paula, Richard and Margaret, Gail, Dan, Marty, the Large Family, Anka, Ginger, Kyle, Kelly, and Richard.
We also pray for students returning to school and all that that means and all that, that involves. Hasten, O God, the coming of your kingdom, and grant that we, your servants who now live by faith, may with joy behold your Son and his coming, that is, Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. Just a couple of announcements. The first thing I want to say is I understand that wearing masks is a hassle, and I want to say thank you for doing that. It's out of an abundance of caution, and we will continue to monitor the situation and listen to the CDC and bring our wardens together on a regular basis to talk about if it's still necessary. I promise we are continuing to have that conversation. And the bell will tell you that that's true. Every time you ring a bell, whatever Robert said is true. Okay, so couple of important announcements. One is that you're all invited directly after this service, well, not directly after the service, at 1 o'clock today here in the parish hall, we will have the first of many conversations about community engagement. There's some partners from the neighborhood, the direct surrounding community, who will be together. Chris Woodhull, who has been preaching here, is going to facilitate that conversation. It's a beginning of a process of learning about how to be more connected with the folks out and around the church, outside of the church. So there's a group of people that are doing some work, a visioning team. Their work will be open, and you'll be invited to participate in that if you like. But this is sort of the beginning of that, and so that's at 1 o'clock. I think there's 4 or 5 folks coming from the community. There's lunch. There's food provided. So you could participate in that, and that would be fantastic. Next Sunday, the 22nd, at 9 a.m., will be the first of a three-part adult forum on liturgy. So we're going to start by, we're going to talk about the, it's going to be here at the church, St. Thaddeus. We're going to talk about the 1979 Book of Common Prayer. If you've ever been interested in sort of the thought and ideas that went into compiling this book, then this is the time for you. But it's also a time to talk about our own prayer life and our own rituals and why we have a prayer book and what that might do for our lives, and get to generate some ideas and talk about ideas around how you pray. So if you'll please join us, that's at 9 o'clock. It's an hour long. It'll be available by Zoom if you want to participate that way. There'll be a screen there in the room with us, with your face up there on it. So everybody wants that, right? You're at home in your pajamas drinking your coffee, and then you're up on the Zoom screen. So come and participate, either in person or by Zoom. It's a three-part series. The first part is about liturgy in general. The second part will be about baptism. The third part will be about Eucharist. So we'll have those conversations. That's a three-week series. Starts next Sunday. The one last thing that I want to warn you about is when we do communion today, after we hear the beautiful music of the bells, I will ruin it by chanting part of the Eucharist. So we're gonna incorporate some more formal aspects of worship, and we're gonna do this slowly, and I'm gonna warn you about it. So parts of the Eucharist can be chanted, and today we're gonna chant the Gregorian or the Sursum Corda in the Gregorian style. So it's if you look at page 6 of your bulletin, you'll notice that the very beginning part of the Eucharistic prayer is sung. And so I'll invite you to participate in that. And as we move forward with the Eucharist, more parts will be chanted. But we're starting with this simple part. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you. We join our voices with angels, archangels, and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy. Glory, Hosanna in the
give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, and the calling of Israel to be your people, and your word spoken through the prophets, above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Jonathan Daniels, Jude Thaddeus, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God, come taste and see that God is good. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go forth into the world serving and loving the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.